Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's Postgame Show.
Cole Reagans dials up a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. He sets a new career high with 12 strikeouts.
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can, too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Swinging a chopper left side. Garcia's got it with a dive. Spins, throws, in time!
This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's your Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
Yeah, good evening. Boy, oh boy. What a way to lose a baseball game. Man, what a way to be swept at home for the first time all season. Boy, oh boy. Listen, there's so much really to be upset about, but I haven't gotten to that place. Maybe I'm hitting the air really quick after the game finished. I don't know. Did Stu do a quick rap? This time yesterday I was agitated, trying not to be, but I was, and I ended up ranting and raving. The opening loss of this series, losing by 8. I know I started off screaming. I'm not there right now, man. I'm gut punched after that one. Ah. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. The number's 913-586-7965. Again, that's 913-586-7965. Yeah, let's talk about it if you want. Royals swept at home. First time all season. They've only been swept twice all year, and both at the hands of the New York Yankees. Royals have now dropped 8 in a row since Jazz Chisholm said they were lucky to win Game 2. Ugh. Yeah, I'm in, not in real pain, thankfully, but I'm in baseball fandom. Ugh. I'm feeling it, man. I don't know about you. 913-586-7965. Seth Lugo did everything I asked earlier today. If you were listening to the On Deck Show, man, I was begging this team, please, please, do something. Outperform the New York Yankees in just one facet. Even if it's base running. Do something tonight better than them. And I thought the best chance of that happening was Seth Lugo on the mound going opposite Will Warren. Last year's American League Cy Young Award runner-up going up against a rookie. If the Royals were going to outperform the Yankees for the first time in seemingly forever, if they're going to outperform the New York Yankees, I thought it was going to be their strength, their starting rotation, even though Seth Lugo didn't necessarily instill a bunch of confidence with his recent performances, at least didn't instill a lot of confidence within me. Now, his numbers were good, but I could point to a few that said he was lucky. He was utilizing his experience, his guile, his smoke and mirrors to put up numbers better than his actual performance. But as I said earlier today, that's all the past now. Cole Reagans is on the IL. I need great Seth Lugo to show back up. I need 2024 Seth Lugo starting tonight. I don't care what you did in your first 11 outings. I need good Seth Lugo tonight, and he was. You know, the numbers weren't eye-popping. Three walks, two strikeouts. Neither one of those numbers necessarily indicates someone having a standout performance. But Lugo did everything I asked. He did lead the team. He more than gave him a chance to win 5 2/3 innings of two-hit stuff tonight from the veteran right-hander. I beg this team, please outperform the Yankees in one feat. In one facet of the game, please do it. Now, Lugo was good. He did everything I asked. Sadly, though, he was matched. Will Warren through 5 2/3 innings of shutout baseball, just like Seth Lugo. So you didn't outperform him on the mound. But then the Royals' defense shows up. Kyle Isbell in the first inning. Michael Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino in the third. Jonathan India in the fourth. Izzy again in the fifth. Again in the sixth. A great play by Vinny Pasquantino again at first base. I mean, the defense was outstanding. Okay, here we go. Now we got something. You're going to outperform them defensively. But even defensively, they were matched. Great plays by Volpe at shortstop, by Reyes at second base, by Bellinger in the outfield. Well, certainly by their middle infielders and the left side. The Yankees' infield was impressive today. They were matched, right? The Royals' defense was matched until they were bested. The Royals lose this game because of a defensive miscue, yes, but also a lack of offensive execution, no doubt. But I'll be honest with you, the offense doesn't upset me anymore. Royals 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. Those five instances came with Caglione at the plate once, Izzy twice, and Fermin twice. So Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, Michael did not get that opportunity with the man in scoring position. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Man, I'm in pain. I feel bad for Lugo. I feel bad for Angel Zarapa. I feel bad for you. I feel bad that, in the words of Pedro Martinez, the Yankees are my daddy. And by the way, offensively, a quick note about this Royals offense. Guys, you can't be both. You can't have the fewest home runs in Major League Baseball and also the worst OPS with runners in scoring position in Major League Baseball. You can't do both. You can do one, not both. You can't have no pop and no clutch. How are you scoring? Well, you're not scoring. You're shut out for the seventh time this season. I'm not saying you need to be a home run hitting team. The Royals are never a home run hitting team. Now, 2014, they had the fewest home runs in Major League Baseball, but they were top half of baseball in OPS with runners in scoring position, top 10 in batting average. You can't be bad when it comes to big flies and big moments. You got no chance with that recipe. All right, let's go to the phone calls, 913-586-7965. We're going to start off in Lee's Summit. Guy, you're hitting leadoff tonight. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, Guy.
Oh, Josh, man, I'm right with you. I've got two subjects I'd like to bring up, and you can always answer what's on my mind. You can always expand on it. I went to the game last night. All right, and I'm going to see Bubich. I'd like to know, with my math yesterday, Bubich should have started that last game against Chicago on Sunday. Well, then he didn't.
They skipped his turn to the rotation, yep.
And then we have a day off. Then I say, okay, he's going to start Tuesday. No, we flip him with Cameron. Now we start him Wednesday. And I said to myself, that's too big a layoff. He was the American League pitcher of the month, and we throw him out of his sink? I mean, who's making these decisions? So that's still grating on me tonight. I almost called last night. And then I said, no. And then you had made the comment, and you had said, I don't like to blame coaching because they don't get the accolades. And I thought, well, you're right, so I'm not going to call tonight. But it's still grating at me. So that, I'd like you to expand on that. And number two.
Well, real quick, Guy, I can answer that before you get off.
Yeah,
they skipped his turn in the rotation in his first full season after Tommy John surgery, his first full season back in the rotation. I think it's an investment to make sure he can stay in the rotation in the final months and the final weeks of the season. That's how they're presenting it.
Okay. And then number two. Yeah, whenever we've had a hitting coach problem, in 13, we let our hitting coach go in May or June, brought in George Brett, and then we changed again. And in 14, we changed again in May or June. The only thing that bothers me about the hitting coach, why do we have so many assistant coaches now?
Nowadays. Because there's so many different personalities. There's so much money being invested into these guys. You want to make sure, especially with the new generation, man, if you're not vibing with them, they're not vibing with you and they're tuning you out. So you got to make sure you're getting on their level. So the Royals have a bunch of different hitting coaches that can, you know, bond, find a relationship, or find common ground with all 13 different hitters inside that clubhouse. Yeah, it's anyone that interacts with 22, 25, 27-year-olds. They're always different, right? I mean, guys in the 80s were different than guys in the 60s, and guys in the 2020s are different than the guys in the turn of the century. But what's more is the amount of money that's being invested into these guys. If you think, especially in a market like this, that you can win in the margins by having an additional coach, an additional set of eyes and set of hands in those, you know, hitters meetings, in the analytics department, anywhere you think you can get an edge, especially in Kansas City, man, you got to do it. But yeah, I honestly think 2-3 hitting coaches, 2-3 pitching coaches is the norm around Major League Baseball now. And you see it in the NFL, you see it in all sports. There's just too much money, and there's so much information that having one man or one woman be responsible to deploy that information to all 13 hitters, that person would never be able to sleep. And the hitting coaches right now are barely sleeping. Guy, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, man. Hope I get to see you again soon. Love talking with you out at the ballpark. Hey, next time you're out here, make sure you swing by my studio. Royals built me this nice studio here at Kauffman Stadium, right on the main concourse, right across from the Diamond Club. Guy, you got to cut it out, man. I always see you. I know where you're sitting. I see you. Swing by and say hi. Let's go to Nico. Nico was one of the more than 21,000 in the building tonight. Nico, go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Man, I'm devastated. Hate being swept by the Yankees. I hate their fans. Saw Matt Nagy there tonight. He was devastated. Man, when Tag struck out looking in that full count, I was just like, nah, you sure? But you gotta find like the diamond ring and the pile of turds. I think that was Angel Zerba. Sub-4 ERA, he's fine looking good. Yeah, I'd say that'll do it.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the phone call, Nico. Jack Caglione never struck out with a full count. Nico, congratulations on getting on the radio, bud. Let's go to Mason, who was in the building as well. Mason, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead. I think we lost Mason. That's unfortunate. How about Cameron in Kansas City? You're next up on the postgame show as the Royals lose to the Yankees 1-0. It's the third time this season the Royals have lost a game 1-0. Cameron, what do you think?
Hey, Vern. So we're in the car driving. I took my buddy today to his first ever Yankees game. He's a Yankees fan, which, first off, it was tough sitting with him after losing that game. That was
a lot of them.
Yeah, that was brutal. And I've now been to two straight games, Vern, where the Royals have gotten shut out in person. So I'm beginning to think I'm bad luck, and I might just need to stop coming to games.
I'd love to tell you you're wrong, but I can't.
And then I just kind of wanted to kind of get your thoughts on just what do you think needs to change with the offense? Because obviously things just aren't going super well right now. I don't know if it's we just got to give them more time or something, but it's getting frustrating going out there and wasting good pitching like this. But thanks
no
for
doubt.
Taking my call, Bert.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. The only thing you can do is make a trade, but that's still only going to add one bat. This team isn't, oh, man, they're really rolling offensively. If they could just get that final missing piece, oh, boy, they'd be set. I mean, you know. So, yeah, they can make acquisitions. They could make a trade, a waiver claim, this, that, or the other. They need these guys to perform better. You know, 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position tonight. 0 for 17 this series. Now, listen, I'm not going to sit here and crush Jack Caglione. And I apologize. Jack Caglione did strike out with the base or with a full count. Yeah, to lead off the fifth inning. And that was a questionable strike three call, right? That sweeper down in the zone. I thought he laid off ball four, but he was rung up for strike three. So I apologize for that, Nico. I was incorrect. You were correct. And congratulations again for getting on the radio. But what needs to change? Guys need to produce. Again, there's only one team in Major League Baseball that has an OPS below 600 with runners in scoring position. It's the Royals. They were fifth best in Major League Baseball last year. Now they're dead last. Their OPS is 587 in those spots. The next closest team, well, it's a tie. The Rockies and the Orioles. And they are almost 45 points better. Their OPS with runners in scoring position is 631. I appreciate the phone call. Cameron, thank you very much. And again, my apologies to Nico for being such a jerk to him. Man, I wrote this down, and I said to everybody in the press box, man, I hope this doesn't turn out to be the highlight of the night. But if you were one of the, and again, it was 23,000 in the building tonight. But I think the highlight of the game, if you were here, was the dance cam. That dude and those two ladies. If you're listening, thank you very much for the entertainment. Those two ladies were getting it, but everything paled in comparison to that dude on the dance cam. So shout out to both of them. I think you were the highlight of the night. I don't have your phone number, but you might be the Guaranteed Foods player of the game. Now, we'll give that to Seth Lugo. Lugo goes 5 2/3 innings and gives up only two hits. So we'll say Seth Lugo is tonight's Guaranteed Foods player of the game. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier. And they've been doing it since 1958. Check them out today. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Royals lose 1-0 and they fall below 500 for the first time in 40 games. All right, let's go to Johnny. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Johnny, go ahead. Oh, we lost Johnny. Oh, that's really disappointing. I do want to say thank you to Adam and Noah from Butler. They swung by the booth after the game. Noah said he had a good time. I think he said a hot dog. I know he had something to eat. He had a pretty good time at the ball game. Didn't seem too down. I told him to go get some swings in because this offense could use them. Drive safe, guys. Appreciate you stopping by. Noah. Hey, Noah from Kauffman Stadium. Is this the Noah from Butler that I was just talking about? Noah, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yes, it is, Vern.
It is. My man, my man. Well, what did you have to eat? What was the best snack you had at the K?
Probably the cheeseburgers. They're really good. I love them.
Cheeseburger? You mean like those little sliders?
Ballpark cheeseburger.
Cheeseburgers. I heard pops in the background. What do you got for me? What's your takeaway from the game?
Lately I've been seeing Jack. He's been doing pretty good, but I think he needs to just start getting more hits, maybe start getting his first home run and a couple more, maybe trade a pitcher or someone for another bat, and I think this offense might need to get going a tad bit with some runs.
Yeah, look, they appreciate the phone call. They need one of two things. They either need power or they need to come through with runners in scoring position, but they can't continue to do neither. Cags tonight, 0 for 4, grounds into a double play with two on and nobody out in the second inning. Strikes out looking at a sweeper down in the zone, as I mentioned, to lead off the fifth. He's robbed of an infield single on a very nice glove flip by Pablo Reyes, the Yankees' second baseman. That's the second out of the seventh inning. And then Cags makes the 27th out again, striking out looking with a full count. 95 in the middle of the dish, and he stares at it. No, well, he didn't stare at it. He stared at it, said, swing, no, don't swing, and it was an ugly look. That's going to be a tough... going to be tough for our buddy to fall asleep tonight. Yeah. Now, best of luck to him. I hope it's not. But knowing the competitor that he is, understanding that this is his, what, ninth big league game, he's going to be up pretty late tonight after staring at the strike three for the 27th out. 913-586-7965. Royals lose 1-0. They're held to 5 hits tonight. Vinny picked up one of those hits, and he now has a new career-high hitting streak, a 12-game hitting streak for the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. 913-586-7965. We go to Luke in Olathe. Luke, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
How's it going?
All right, what do you have?
Not a lot. I'm just going to reiterate a lot of things everybody else has said. We got to get some bats, man. I want to ask you about Alex Zumwalt, and wanted to ask if you want to do anything with hitting coaches. And that's all I really got. Thank you.
No, I don't want to do anything with hitting coaches. I want Salvi and Vinny and Mike Hal and Bobby to get on base. I want Jonathan India to get on base. I want the professionals to get the job done. Thanks for the phone call. Royals lose 1-0. They hand the ball to Michael Wacha for game one against the A's tomorrow. And you know what? I have a real bad attitude about this series coming up. Excited to celebrate Alex Gordon, obviously. But I have a real bad attitude about this upcoming series. Royals have lost 5 straight series here at home to the Reds, the Red Sox, the Cardinals, the Tigers, and now the Yankees. Last time they beat a team here at Kauffman Stadium in a series, it was the Chicago White Sox. A bully for them. And now you want to beat the Sacramento A's? Good for you. Royals lose 1-0. We'll take a quick timeout, get back to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show, brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods, delivering all natural foods direct to families since 1958. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Make sure to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast channel to stay up to date with your boys in blue. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Here's the pitch. And Bellinger lines it deep left center field. Isbell sprints back into the gap, dives, makes the catch. Isbell made the catch. He made the catch, and he saves a run. A lunging, diving grab in left center field. Jersey now wet from the wet grass and the rain. Isbell hangs on for the final out of the top of the sixth inning. and keeps the game scoreless.
Oh, what a moment. Great call, Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 96.5 The Fan. A scoreless game in the top of the sixth inning with two on and two outs. Angel Zerpa in after a 28-minute rain delay. A rain delay through Zerpa knew he was going to come back and pitch. Now, if you miss this game today, Royals lose 1-0. They're now below 500 for the first time since the end of April. But it's a scoreless game until the eighth inning, and we'll get to the eighth inning in just a moment. But there in the sixth, two on, two outs. Zerpa, after the rain delay, comes out to face former MVP Cody Bellinger. And he gets ahead of Bellinger 0-2. Okay, ball one. You'll see if he'll chase. But then Bellinger fouls off the next three pitches from Zerpa. Finally, the seventh offering is a fly ball to the left center field gap. This thing's down. Statcast gave Kyle Isbell a 25% chance of catching the ball. Well, and as you heard, he caught it. Finishes off that threat in the sixth, and the scoreless game would remain until that eighth inning. We'll get to that coming up in a moment, but a beautiful catch by Kyle Isbell, one of three terrific defensive plays from an outstanding defensive center fielder. That play to finish off the sixth was today's MVP Air Conditioning Cool Play of the Game. It's brought to you by MVP Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and Electric. Get your AC ready for summer and running efficiently with a tune-up for only $39. Go to themvpkc.com or call 913-322-0868 today. MVP, one call does it all. I'll explain what happened in the eighth inning if you missed it, but I know a lot of you did not miss it. So let's talk about it. Let's go back to the phone calls. And let's go to David in Kansas City. David, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, thanks, Josh, for putting me on. I was just saying, I remember June 12th last year, and we had lost three in a row to the Yankees, but we had a fourth game. But maybe we're
Alec Marsh stepped up
against the Yankees sometime in the future. But what I'm just saying is I saw in that second inning, and do you think that this Gagliani had the green light to, on that 1-1 count to not bunt? You know, I think we're expecting too much of him, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know when he's ever been asked to bunt. You know, when you're 6'5", 250, and you can hit the ball to the moon, I don't know many coaches coming up that are asking you to bunt. You know, Royals need to put up a crooked number. That's what this team needs. They don't need to be playing for one run in the second inning with one of the most powerful ball players in the sport at the dish. David, thanks for the phone call. If you missed the game, second inning, Vinny hits a laser beam to right field for a leadoff single. Vinny extends his career best on base streak to 27 games. Salvi then lines one into left field, so now it's two on with nobody out. Caglione works another full count and then hits a knuckleball up the middle. It goes as a 6-3 double play. But Pasquantino was on third, so man on third with two outs. Nick Lofton draws a walk. Nice day for Lofton, on base three times with a pair of walks and a triple. So Lofton's on first, Pasquantino's on third. There's two outs, and Freddie Fermin, an eight-pitch battle with Yankees right-hander Will Warren, and Warren won the battle as he paints 94 on the black to Fermin, and Freddie just stares at it for strike three. So that was the first opportunity for the Royals offense. I don't know if I would say it was the best opportunity. Boys would go down 1-2-3 in the third, again in the fourth, but in the fifth, Nick Lofton, it's a fastball up in the zone, and he goes with it. A fastball out over the dish. He goes with it. He lines it to the right center field wall for a one-out triple. A triple! So there's a man on third with one out. Freddie Fermin, the only thing you cannot do is punch out. Put the ball in play, preferably. No, you know what? Just put the ball in play. Yeah, the defense is playing or the infield is playing in. Put the ball in play. Don't punch out. Freddie didn't punch out, but he grounded it right to Anthony Volpe. Lofton read it properly, stayed at third, second out. Kyle Isbell then up at the dish, second pitch he sees, he rolls over to the right side, grounds out to end the inning. So Royals at this point are now 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position, and they would get only one more chance. Despite the fact they had a leadoff single in the sixth, and India never budged off of first base as Bobby, Michael, and Vinny are unable to move him. In the seventh inning, with two out and nobody on, Nick Lofton draws his second walk. Freddie Fermin, with a great plate appearance, he rocks one to the opposite field. So it's first and third as it was a full count offering to Fermin, so Lofton was off on the pitch. So Fermin's on first, Lofton's on third, Izzy's at the dish. He hits a high fly ball to right field for the third out. So that's how the Royals wound up 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. They would go down 1-2-3 in the eighth and again in the ninth, capped by that rough, rough half swing from Jack Caglione to finish this one off. Royals lose 1-0, and again, they're shut out for the seventh time this season, and they are swept for the second time at the hands of the New York Yankees. They finish a winless season series against the Bronx Bombers for just the third time in franchise history, the first time in 24 years. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. We go to Jacob in Kansas City. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Burn? Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
I actually did want to talk about that eighth inning because I've been an Ursegg fan since we got him last season, and he's the only pitcher to face the judge. And, you know, it just felt like high noon and we got him, and he got him, and I thought that's going to be it. They're going to pull it off. But, you know, other than that, I know you got the error there. I'm listening on the radio, so it's hard to see. I just wanted you to talk about that, like how
sure.
How much of it is his fault, how much of it is, like, luck and that kind of thing. So, thanks again.
Yeah. That's a good question. You know, I would say 10% luck, you know, 50% on Ursegg, 40% on Vinny. Maybe I'm putting too much on Vin there. But for those that missed it, eighth inning, no score. Lucas Ursegg making his return to the mound here at Kauffman Stadium, his first time since returning from the injured list. And Pablo Reyes, the Yankees second baseman, leads off. 1-1 fastball, 98 up in the zone. Reyes puts a good swing on it, not trying to play hero. He knows who he is. He's the eight hitter. He's a bench player for the Yankees, and he's leading off the inning. All he's trying to do is get on base, and he did. 1-1 fastball, elevated. He goes with it, hits it to the opposite field for a leadoff single. And then, what a cool moment this was. You know, up in the press box, man, I was hoping that Aaron Judge would make an appearance in a spot like this. And I was hoping that it would end the way that this one ended. So Aaron Judge comes in off the bench. Now, he wasn't obviously in the starting lineup. It's his first day off of the season. He comes in to face Ursegg and 2-2, works the count full. So the 2-2 pitch is a slider down and in from Ursegg to Judge. And it was off the plate. It was ball three. Ursegg comes back with the exact same pitch in the exact same spot. And honestly, it was even more off the plate, like by inches. But it was even more of a ball than the previous one was. And yet, the home plate umpire rung up the judge. I can see both sides of it. I can see the, you know, Yankee side of it saying, I mean, the guy's hitting 400. You just told him the previous pitch was a ball. Now you're going to tell him it's strike three? Now, I can understand frustration from Judge, and he had a few words to say to the home plate umpire. But I also understand where the ump's coming from. I mean, don't look at, you're Aaron Judge. Don't look at me to save the day. Don't look at me to hand you guys a victory, to hand you guys a runner in scoring position. Swing the bat. I had no issue with home plate umpire Alfonso Marquez's strike three call of Aaron Judge. So after that, it's a ground ball to the right side off of the bat of Trent Grisham. They can't turn the double play, but India made sure they got one out. I was so thankful he didn't try to get the lead runner. So Pablo Reyes moves up to second base, but there's two outs. Two outs, a man on second, and Ben Rice, the left-handed bat, coming to the dish. Urseg walks him on five pitches. That's fine. Okay, that's fine. Two on, two outs. Paul Goldschmidt, former MVP, coming to the plate. First pitch strike. Second pitch is the same pitch. Back-to-back fastballs up on the inner third to the right-handed hitting Paul Goldschmidt from the right-handed throwing fireballer Lucas Urseg. So the second fastball up and on the inner third, Goldschmidt fights it off. Kind of a line drive over the head of Vinny Pasquantino, but Vinny leaps, gets a glove on it, but is unable to squeeze it. So the ball falls. Keep in mind, there's a man on second base, Pablo Reyes, and he's rounding third as Vinny's picking the ball up and looking at first. Urseg's running over to first base to cover the bag. And yet, you're sitting up here, if you're at the game, if you're in the press box, you're thinking, he's going to score, throw it home. But Vinny, with his back to the infield, picks the ball up and kind of spins all in one motion while throwing a seed to Urseg covering the bag. Meanwhile, Pablo Reyes slipped and fell while rounding third, and he's now in between. Do I go back to the bag? Do I try to score? He recognizes that Vinny's going to first base, so Reyes takes off for the dish. Now, Urseg can't corral the throw from Vinny Pasquantino where it's late. You know, Goldschmidt beats the throw to the bag. So as Urseg is collecting himself and he sees Reyes breaking towards home, he starts running at him. Instead of get the ball out of your hands and throw it home, we're not trying to run him back to third base. Just get the ball out of your hands. Get it to Freddie at the dish. Urseg's lack. It's very quick thinking, but you know what? They're the big leagues. They're big leaguers. Got to get that ball out of your hands. You got to get a good throw to Freddie Fermin. But instead, he takes his time, you know, kind of runs towards the batter as if he's not the game-winning run. And when he finally decides to throw to Freddie Fermin, it's towards the first base side of home plates. Freddie tries to make the pick and swipe, but he never made the pick, and Reyes slides in safely on an errant throw from Lucas Urseg. So, 10% bad luck, 50% on Urseg for not getting the ball out of his hand quicker, and also not making a better throw to Freddie Fermin. And I think you got to say maybe 40% on Vinny. Or maybe that's on, you know, the rest of the infielders that need to be screaming 4-4 to Vinny. Either way, what a painful way to lose. Second time in a couple of weeks, the Royals lose a game 1-0 despite the fact that the other team didn't even collect an RBI. And if you remember, a couple of Sundays ago, Royals lost 1-0 here against the Detroit Tigers as a wild pitch was the reason why Detroit scored their lone run. A wild pitch from Chris Bubich, which really was a wild pitch thanks to Salvador Perez and a lack of effort going to get the ball as it bounced around the back wall. So two losses that... Boy, it's really hard to envision two losses not being humongous at the end of the season when we're talking about this wild card race. To lose two games in 2 weeks despite the other team not driving in those runs, boy, we're going to be talking about that one for a while. So yeah, that eighth inning was very painful. Painful as a fan, painful as a media member. Painful as a Kansas Cityan that just wants to see these boys and And all the boys and girls in the ballpark just wants to see everybody have a good time. Not having a good time. Not having a good time when you're swept by the New York Yankees. And I mentioned Aaron Judge coming in off the bench. What a cool moment that was. They announced Aaron Judge, and the Yankees fans that were in the building, I'd say there was, you know, 8,000-9,000 of them, going nuts. I mean, so nuts that I'm thinking, are there more Yankees fans here than Royals fans? And then Urseg punched the ticket of Aaron Judge, and Royals fans said, nope, no, we got about 15,000 of us, and we're even louder. The back and forth between Yankees fans and Royals fans there in that Aaron Judge at bat was something else. I really enjoyed that. Let's go to Gianni. He was in the building. He was one of those 15, 16,000 Royals fans. Gianni, what's happening?
Hey, Vern. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
It was good to see you. I wish it was under better circumstances. I don't like getting swept to a rival, especially the Yankees.
Ugh.
But one thing I did want to say is, there was even people in the section that were questioning, you know, is Cags the guy? Should he have been brought up and, you know, whatnot? And one thing I just want to say is, he's seeing pitches that he's never seen before. He had the reach percentage in the minors because if you throw it down the dish, the ball's gone.
Gone.
So, those pitchers would have been at the show.
And he laid off a lot of tough pitches, I thought, tonight.
You know, he really did. I think he kept himself alive. Last night, he got pretty frustrated. You heard that F-bomb. I heard it up from my couch.
really?
It was quite loud, and he was frustrated, and rightfully so. But I just want to, remind people that, he is seeing pitches that he's never seen before, and I don't think he was moved up too early. I would have liked, as you've said and we've chatted before, I would have liked to see him be some nuts on top of the sundae and one of the scoops. And then the other bit is I don't know exactly what we have to offer when it comes to the trade deadline, given between injuries with our pitchers. If we were going to have any leverage, it would come from a pitcher. So I think really at this point, it's going to be just getting the guys to hit. And how you do that, I don't have that answer. I'd be making a lot more money if I did. But I've said it before, I'm not too big of a person to say backyard ball is beyond us. If that means you need to bunt in the third inning and just get that sound on the bat and get some people on just to build some momentum, maybe that's what you have to do. I'm not looking forward to, an up or a down when it comes to the Athletics coming in, because I'm a little sore losing three to the Yankees. So I guess, what is that? Nine now?
Eight in a row.
Eight?
Yeah.
So, anyways, I just wanted to, let the people know, Cags is seeing quality pitches from quality pitchers.
Yeah.
It will come. Don't fret.
No doubt. Hey, Johnny, always nice to hear from you. Always nice seeing you at the ballpark. You always make the show better. Always love the disposition, man. Thank you very much. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7965. I don't get anyone that is concerned about Jack Caglione. What are you talking about? Anyone that's voicing any sort of unhappiness or disappointment as it pertains to the 22-year-old, you're just telling on yourself. The young man's doing fine. You were expecting way too much out of someone that spent 3 weeks in AAA. He's fine. Yeah, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I don't even understand where that's coming from. Again, man, he's down in the count in his first trip to the dish. He's down 1-2. He works seven pitches. Yeah, he hit into a double play. But even the double play, to me, it wasn't the, he rolled over one and your 6-4-3 double play, exactly what Will Warren wanted. No, that's not what it was. He hit the ball right back up the middle. Yeah, he struck out looking in his next at-bat after he, again, fell behind 1-2, but works a six-pitch battle. And that strike three was down. He laid off a pitch that he should be, I don't want to say should be spitting on, but you know, we'd be praising other big leaguers if they spit on that sixth pitch. He got punched out by it. A nice defensive play robs him of an infield hit in the seventh. And then, a game on the line. He has a chance to be the hero in the bottom of the ninth inning, and he punches out looking. Obviously was caught in between, was thinking way too much. That's to be expected. Listen, if what he did in his final AB is what he had been doing in a majority of his at-bats, I'd be with you. But that's maybe the second time in nine games that Jack Caglione has clearly looked like a rookie. Twice, two at-bats in nine games? Give the kid a break. Let's go to Jessica in Prairie Village. Jessica, you're on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals lose 1-0. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. It's super tough. I was there as well. And I'll just say the highlight for me was seeing Ersig and Judge, that exchange. That was definitely my highlight. I wonder, how many people players or people we abandon on base. But my question for you is, there's just too many people that we're leaving on base, obviously. But my question for you is, this slump, do you think, I feel like at some point some of it's coaching, some of it's psychological, some of it's, it's not as much athleticism as it is other things, because I feel like we have all the strength in our players, but we're unable to wake up the bats. And just why is it, why do you think we're in this slump? Do you think it's a psychological thing at this point? And that's really just my whole question.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Jessica. I think they're just choking. We could dive into the numbers. Since Jack Caglione was called up, coming into today, the Royals, in the eight games since calling up Caglione, the team is hitting .293. The team's OPS coming into today was almost .800. So they're hitting the ball. They're hitting the ball for power, too. But what they're not doing is hitting the ball when there's a runner in scoring position. So, again, if you're telling me you're hitting for power, you're getting extra bases, you're hitting home runs occasionally, but you're losing games, and you're not hitting with runners in scoring position, I'm sorry, but you're choking. That's what you're doing. You're gagging. The game is right there. Go win it, and you fumble it. So, okay, that might be, I think that is the definition of psychological. If you're thinking too much, if you're choking, because obviously when there's not a runner in scoring position, you're getting the job done. Or at least you have been since Jack Caglione showed up. But in the big spots, no. No, you're not. In fact, in the six games since the start of the last series in Chicago, the Royals are 3 for their last 39 with runners in scoring position, and all three of those hits came back on Sunday. Royals went 0 for 17 with runners in scoring position against the Yankees. Trust me, I want it to be something obvious. I wish it was simple as, all right, fire that guy and let's fix this thing. Let's go. It's not. You're hitting coaches that you guys are frustrated with. Again, the team was hitting almost .300 coming into tonight with an OPS near .800. So they're hitting. It's just in the big moments, pucker up a little bit. What else? There's nothing else to point to. It's not as if they're not hitting and also not hitting with runners in scoring position. They're hitting fine until the big moment presents itself, and then they try to come through while wrapping one hand around their neck. If they can just get that hand off of their necks, maybe they could do something productive. Nice to hear from you. Let's go to Roger in Topeka. Roger, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Vern. I totally agree with you on Jack. Must give him some time. He's hitting like 73% of his balls. Great contact rate. He's hitting hard. It's going to come. Nobody should doubt him or him being in the big leagues at this point in time.
Agreed.
I am feeling skeptical because we aren't able to score runs. I didn't think we were going to do anything against the Yankees, but we lost 2 out of 3 against the White Sox. The Athletics are even better. I'm kind of semi-optimistic about what's going to happen during this series. I always root for the Royals, been a fan. I'm 56 years old. Seen George Brett in person and everybody else. Go Royals forever, but I hate to see us regressing at this point. With the pitching that we have, we should be at least 7 to 8 games above 500. I'll listen off air. Love you.
Yeah, love you too. Thank you very much. Michael Wacha going tomorrow. Michael Lorenzen on Saturday. And Noah Cameron coming up in the finale on Sunday afternoon. Coming into this homestand, I said I wanted one of two things. I wanted 4 wins or 2 wins against the Yankees. Give me one of those two things. And, well, they're not going to be able to do either. So no matter what happens to me, this has been a disappointing homestand. Even if you sweep the A's, I mean, I'll be in a good mood, I'm sure, Sunday if you sweep the A's. But it's still a disappointing homestand. Royals lose the finale to the Yankees. They're swept again by the Pinstripers. And y'all can't say anything to Jazz Chisholm. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show, brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods, delivering all natural foods direct to families since 1958. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Make sure to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast channel to stay up to date with your boys in blue. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Royals lose 1-0, swept at home for the first time this season. Lose 1-0 for the third time this season. Royals are now 1 game below 500 and the phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7965. Royals held to just 5 hits. Freddie Fermin had 1, Nick Lofton had another, Salvi, India, and this guy, Vinny Pasquantino, had the other 3. Vinny with a leadoff single in the second inning. He's batting .355 since the end of April, and he's one of only 6 big leaguers this season to have multiple hit streaks of at least 10 games. But after the game, the media wanted to know from Vinny Pasquantino, they wanted to know about that key moment in the 8th inning, the game-deciding moment, the line drive off of the bat of Paul Goldschmidt that tips off the glove of Vinny Pasquantino. He picks it up, spins, fires to first to Lucas Ursegg. Meanwhile, the runner, who was on second base, is rounding third. He slips and falls, decides to still come home. Ursegg hesitates before he throws to the dish, and when he does, it's a poor throw, an errant throw, and the only run of the game comes across to score. What did Vinny Pasquantino have to say after this one? The audio courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network.
Ball's behind me. Try to go get it. Threw to first. I haven't gone back and looked at it, but probably should have held on to it and just thought there was a play to be made at first, and you know, once I threw it, I realized like, oh, he's already through the base. There is no play there. So, hindsight being 20/20, like, wish I would have, you know, turned and found the runner. I was just trying to make a play. Yeah,
there's a lot going on, obviously, in a short amount of time. But does the, Goldschmidt maybe being a little bit slower of a runner play into, you know, going to first?
Yeah, maybe. You know, if it's a super speed guy, I know. I think it was one of those things where, in the moment, I was just kind of trying to make a play. There's no excuse for it. It was just kind of what happened. I grabbed the ball, turned. It was like, you know, maybe. And, you know, that's not a good enough answer. Like, we don't do this on maybe, so it's got to be better than that. And, you know, slow the game down when plays like that happen.
Oh, how do you not love Vinny Pasquantino? I'm nodding along with everything that he's saying. I get it, man. I get that you're trying to make a play. Again, his back, as he's picking the ball up after the line drive, his back's to the play. There's a lot going on. Your mind's moving a mile a minute. I'd love for a Jonathan India, a Freddie Fermin. I don't know if it gets drowned out. You'd love for someone to be screaming for. But yeah, no, I totally get it. And that's why I said I feel bad putting any portion of the blame on Vinny for that play in the eight. But no, he's never going to run from blame, run from the cameras, the microphones, the questions. And that's why, that's one of the many reasons why he is the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. Royals lose 1-0. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're on 96.5 The Fan, buddy. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vernon. It's the story of the Royals, man. Can't hit with runners in scoring position once again. You know, I mean, I don't know that rain delay. I don't know how they adjusted, what they did. But, man, it's certainly frustrating. But I believe in them. They could pick it back up starting tomorrow with Michael Wacha on the hill. So let's just hope that they start to turn it around, or else we're going to be the ones that are trading pieces, not adding pieces, Vern.
Oh,
so
that ain't happening, Garrett. That is not happening. You do not call up Jack Caglione.
If they turn, hey, tomorrow is the day they start to turn it around, Vern. Tomorrow.
Okay. I'm with it. Well, it better be. I mean, for God's sakes, you're taking on the A's, and you know what? You're not in Sacramento. So you might actually see the good Severino tomorrow. And that A's team can hit. You guys lost 2-3 to the White Sox. You can't be looking past anyone, and I know you're not looking past them. You didn't say that, Garrett. But, yeah, I'm with you. Let's hope that the turnaround begins tomorrow. Listen, the turnaround can't – I'm sorry, it can't begin tomorrow. It can't begin against Oakland. It's not going to begin in Arlington against the Rangers. Go win in San Diego. Go take 2-3 from the Padres. Take 2-3 from the Dodgers when they come to Kauffman Stadium in a couple of weeks. I guess you can start to build confidence tomorrow, Garrett. But if you want to turn the skeptics into believers, you're not going to be able to do that for another week. You need to produce for a week and then produce for another week offensively if you want anyone to believe in this offense. If you want anyone to believe in this team. Oh, man. Again, a painful loss tonight, and especially when almost everything I asked of Seth Lugo, he was able to deliver tonight. 1-2-3 in the first, 1-2-3 in the second. He works around a leadoff single in the third, thanks to a great play by Michael Garcia, a great pick by Vinny Pasquantino. Faces the minimum in the fourth, again in the fifth, and he doesn't finish the sixth, but Angel Zerpa and Kyle Isbell made sure that his final line would remain unscathed. 5 2/3 innings of shutout baseball tonight for Lugo, his 12th start of the season. He's still averaging almost 6 innings per start, and his ERA... again, you can point to the underlying metrics that might say that there's some luck that's playing into it. I tend to point to his experience and his guile as to why, you know, his fielding independent pitching and his expected ERA are so much higher than his actual ERA. If you're wondering, Lugo's ERA is 3.18 on the season. That's what? Fourth best on the team. Right, Waka's top 25 in baseball. Chris Bubich is sixth best in baseball. Noah Cameron's got a sparkling ERA. Seth Lugo's 3.18 ERA, fourth best in the rotation. and the rotation right now doesn't even include Cole Reagans. Yeah. To go back to a previous caller, the fact that I just said all of that about this rotation and the team is below 500, oof, boy, that stings. Yeah, it's going to be tough for a lot of people to fall asleep tonight. It's going to be tough for Cags to fall asleep. It's going to be tough for me to fall asleep, and I know a lot of you as well. But hopefully Garrett's right. Hopefully the turnaround begins tomorrow. Let's hear what Seth Lugo had to say after this. He doesn't factor in the decision. The loss goes to Lucas Erceg. Here's Seth Lugo on FanDuel Sports Network. Let's take a listen to hear the starter.
As well, I think I'm starting to get into a role, so, I'm going to try to stick with that.
How are you feeling grip-wise, being able to manage everything that you've had to manage so far?
I feel great. I think we have a, pretty good plan, pretty good idea of, what I have to do to, continue to execute pitches, and, that's what we're doing. So I'm really confident where I'm at right now.
When you came off the aisle, did you kind of feel like it might take a couple of starts just to really understand and know what you needed to do to be ready for each one?
Yeah, I mean, not having a rehab outing, not knowing how it was going to respond the first start, that was a little bit of a question mark, but, something we were prepared for. And, three starts in now, I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm really comfortable.
When you guys are navigating the lineup like the Yankees have over there, what's it like working with Freddie, being able to make the right pitch selection in the right moments to keep him off the scoreboard?
With a lineup like that, it's challenging at times, but I think me and him both did a really good job tonight of taking our time and picking the right pitches, and I thought we did that well. I thought the relievers after me did that well. I think that's I thought we threw the ball really well tonight, and it's a tough loss, but we come back tomorrow and try to win a game tomorrow.
The three walks for you tonight—is it commanding, or were you maybe picking your spots?
Well, the first one—I mean, I think everybody knows that was a strikeout a couple times, but with Goldschmidt there, especially the second time with guys on base, he's a professional hitter, been doing this a long time, and I wasn't going to give in to him. I was going to try to get him expanding, and he didn't, and that's why he's been doing it as long as he has, and I'm completely fine with that.
There you go. Seth Lugo, 100% right. He did strike out Trent Grisham there in the third inning. Got ripped off on that 1-2 pitch. Should have been end of discussion between those two there in the third. Tonight, 5 2/3 of scoreless baseball from Seth Lugo. The 14th time this season a Royal starter has spun 5 scoreless. Only the Detroit Tigers have done it more. And that's the Detroit Tigers. A team in first place, not only in the American League Central, but in all of the American League. 20 games above 500. Royals, great rotation. Maybe the best rotation in the American League. A game under 500, 10.5 behind Detroit. And the difference between the two teams' run differential? 109. Tigers are plus 88, Royals minus 21. Hopefully the turnaround begins tomorrow. Michael Wacha on the hill against, this dude ain't no slouch, especially when he's pitching away from Sacramento, Luis Severino. It's a 7:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock as the Royals wrap up this 6-game homestand. The only reason why I wasn't angry after that series loss to the Chicago White Sox was because you went 500 on the road. And the old adage is, go 500 on the road, win your series at home, and you'll find yourself in October. Well, the Royals can't win series at home against good teams. At least not of late, not more than a month. Thanks to Julio Sanchez for the help back at the studio. I love Julio Sanchez, and you should too. Come on, Royals. Help Julio out. All he wants to do is see you win. Enjoy your night, Julio. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Out of the track, leaps, it's gone! Michael Massey ambushes the first pitch!
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can too. call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Junior makes a catch, a tag, and a throw, and out at home plate.
To hear more from Vern during the week, tune in to Fesco and Dusty on Monday at 8:20, Cody and Gold on Wednesday at 12:30, and The Drive on Fridays at 3. This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.